So I remember last year when Nicola, who works at the Met Museum, she came to our EP class to discuss about the program that our school had with the museum. And she asked us one simple question. She asked us, do we like art? And without a doubt, I said no, because art didn't really interest me. And on our first visit to the museum, there was one half of me that was really excited because I've never been to the museum, and there was another half that was like, okay, museums are boring. Over the other visits, gradually, these paintings, these art pieces, they connected back to the topic we were doing in class. And it elaborated more, and it made it more fun.
Museums are viewed as sacred places housing treasures, showcasing man's accomplishments. But this all depends on whose viewpoint this is from. There are some who may see an imposing building filled with crowds of people, numerous security guards, and art pieces not reflective of themselves. There's also the issue of appreciating art when you look at it. According to an article in the Huffington Post, a survey conducted by the Metropolitan Museum of Art found the average person spends 32.5 seconds looking at artwork. As a teacher, you wonder, in this fast-paced and tech-savvy world, how can you get students to engage in images not as appealing as themselves or food? I had a chance to sit with a few educators to find the secret in engaging New York City public school students with art. I'm Miss Mack, and this is Hall Pass Break.
My name is Christine Chagrou. I'm a social studies teacher at Simon Baruch Middle School, and I teach sixth grade.
My name is Carla Cherry. I teach at Innovation Diploma Plus High School, and it's on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and I teach English.
My name is Nicola Giardina. I'm the Astor Fellow for K-12 Education at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
First guest Nicola, who works for the Metropolitan Museum of Art, just published an article in the Educational Leadership Magazine, issue of Powerful Lesson Planning Edition. And it's titled, When Curriculum Meets Art, a Step-by-Step Planning Process Helps Teachers Integrate Art into Any Content Area. So you begin the article discussing examples of the teacher who brings their students, and it states, this conversation continues as students examine the next object, a painting by Harlem Renaissance artist Aaron Douglas titled, Let My People Go. The class draws parallels between the exodus of enslaved Black people from Egypt and the struggle for freedom that Blacks faced in America. Students identify symbolic imagery in the painting and consider how these symbols play into the overall theme of the work. As the class shares thoughtful interpretations, one student enthusiastically comments, the more we look at art, the deeper it gets. So explain why conversations like this are important.
I believe that conversations like this are absolutely essential for student learning, and I used that powerful example in my article, which was actually taught by the very talented and brilliant teacher to my left, Miss Carla Cherry, because it was an example of students really looking deeply at a work of art and really connecting their own life experience with the work of art in a way that connected to their curriculum, was relevant to their lives, engaged them in social emotional learning, and really brought out their diverse perspectives in a way where they were really listening to each other and connecting with each other and with the work of art, and as well with the literature that they were reading in class.
Can you just explain the pyramid of inquiry and how this came about?
Yes, so my work at the Metropolitan Museum of Art over the last 3 years has focused on professional learning communities with K-12 teachers in New York City. And one of the things that we do is look really closely at student learning and look really closely at the outcomes when students spend extended time with works of art and when students engage in inquiry with works of art that are connected to the teacher's classroom curricula. And the pyramid of inquiry was something that was developed. It's a method for looking at art that was developed from our close observation of 45 middle school classes at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And what we found through looking and listening and transcribing and really analyzing what the students had to say about art, from that we were able to identify this arc. So when students come to a work of art, they begin with observation, really noticing deeply what they see. Then they move on to the inference level, where they're thinking about what they think about what they see, and then using evidence to support those inferences. And then the top of the pyramid is interpretation, where students are really synthesizing, analyzing, using those critical thinking skills to think about the big idea of the work of art. And that's where you really see the really high level thinking. And so what we did through really observing this in action with all of these educators and all of these students with really diverse learning abilities, or like students with who are English language learners, we looked at students who have severe cognitive disabilities, we looked at students across the range, and gifted and talented students. And what we found was that all students were really able to engage in this type of thinking, and it really is up to the teacher to be able to structure an inquiry experience with a work of art using the pyramid of inquiry. It's a tool that allows teachers to do this successfully, no matter who or what they're teaching.
Christine, in the article, it stated, "I've moved toward focusing instruction around an artifact or work and allowing students to be the driving force behind what they explore. As a result, students are more invested in learning for learning's sake versus just looking for the right answer." I think this is really true and powerful, and I'd just like you to speak more about this and how we can bring this into the classroom.
Well, I think one of the key components to bringing it into the classroom is choosing a piece of art or an artifact that connects to the curriculum and having that as the starting point. And when students then move through the pyramid of inquiry using this as the starting point, they make a personal connection to what they're going to be learning. So they're no longer looking for the right answer, they're thinking. And with this shift, students then still need to build knowledge. There still is content that they're going to acquire, but now they're searching for the answers. And as a result of this and the personal connections they've made, students who haven't necessarily been as successful in school, who maybe don't have the traditional academic skills associated with reading and writing, have a new sense of a new sense of purpose and a new sense of their own ability, where these students are given a chance to thrive. Students, when a piece of art is displayed, whether it's on the smart board in the classroom or when we're at the museum, students who didn't have something to offer all of a sudden are fully engaged in a way that when I've had other teachers observing or Nicola observing, they're shocked. They think this isn't a class that struggles. This must be your gifted class. And it's actually it isn't the case. But they've been brought in and made to feel successful and are in fact successful.
And this is something that I've seen over and over again with the 45 teachers and schools that I've worked with over the past 3 years. There's a moment like that in every class where the teacher will come to me and say, "I can't believe that student had that insight about a work of art. That student is maybe reading on a first grade reading level, you know, a reading level far below where they are academically. But there's something about art that allows all students to be able to access it. They bring their life experience to it. They bring their individual strengths to it. And this way of using art inquiry to investigate works of art, I think it really builds, it's collaborative meaning making. So the students are working together. They're each bringing their strengths to the table. So in a classroom where you might have students performing on really various different levels, they come together and they're able to each contribute their own perspective and to really listen to each other and to really help each other understand on a deeper level.
And just one more thing on that note. The reality of our school system is we have students who have reading problems
that haven't been properly addressed.
Absolutely.
And we often equate reading ability with intelligence. Mm. And through this, I've been able to see the intelligence of students who just haven't mastered the written language.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make out, that there are other ways of learning, and this is a form of differentiation that our schools want us to actually practice and look at. So thank you. Actually, let's move on to Carla, who is not only a teacher, but she's also a poet. And actually, one of our colleagues used one of your poems in an art piece. Can you explain why you were inspired by this painting to write?
The painting that you're talking about is Edward Hopper's Table for Ladies, and I encountered that painting when I was part of the writing marathon that the New York City Writing Project had in the spring of 2015. When I saw that painting, I was really struck by one of the figures in the painting. It was a woman who was bent over at almost a 90 degree angle, and she was arranging food. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, her back must really hurt. And I looked at the blurb on the painting, and it talked about how, you know, the painting's from 1930, and at that time, women were starting to enter the workforce. And I just started thinking about what these women must have gone through, and that's where the poem came from.
We're in a city right now that's filled with so many museums and historical sites that are free, literally free for everyone. And Nicola, I just want to know, how can we solve this and get teachers who may be able to come or not able to come to the Met to utilize just art in their curriculum?
I definitely agree that schools should be doing all that they can to expose students to enrich their curriculum by visiting museums and visiting the cultural institutions in the city. But if you are not able to do that, there are still so many ways that you can bring art into your classroom. Every museum has a website. The Metropolitan Museum has all of its millions of works of art on their website, and you can download images, very high resolution. You can bring them into your classrooms. I think you can do this, you know, by any means possible. I think even if you can't bring your students to the museum, there's still something that happens when you bring art into your classroom. Part of what I do is I visit schools and I bring art with me. And the way that when I open the door, even if it's just a work of art that I got on the street or something that I found in a museum gift shop, the students are transformed just by having that novel experience, to be able to touch and feel something, to be able to look at something visually and unpack it is just very, it stimulates their curiosity and their imagination. So I think that bringing works of art into the classroom is also incredibly valuable. But I do want to reiterate the point that museums in New York City are free for New York City schools. They offer, the Metropolitan Museum of Art offers free guided tours. So as a teacher, you don't have to plan your own lesson. You can have an experienced museum educator do that for your students free of charge. So cost shouldn't be the prohibitive factor, because museums want to encourage school audiences, K-12 audiences, to come through the door. And then another thing I was thinking of is parent coordinators, because I think that making parents aware of these cultural institutions, which all offer free family programs as well, yes, and would love to attract audiences from all over the city, to help the parent coordinator get in touch with those institutions or have those materials available for parents. Or many cultural institutions will send museum educators to schools to meet with parents to show them how to bring different ways to engage your kids in the museum. So that's another kind of avenue that you could go.
When I was part of the Esther educators program, they didn't want to go. They said, museums are boring. We don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. I said, have you ever been there? And all of my students live in Manhattan, and they hadn't been to the Met as sixth grade students. Mm. Then we went, and they said, well, this was different. It was never like this before. You made it fun. And I tried to encourage them to then come back with their families. And one of the things that the Met does provide on a field trip is free family passes. even though you don't have to pay to come in, it's a suggested price. A lot of families do feel intimidated mm-hmm. to go up and say, actually, I'm not going to pay. Mm-hmm. But you have these passes that I've used as a parent, and I've tried to show my students who are in sixth grade the website and said, you could come and there'll be another educator here on Saturday. And here's the website, look at the calendar, and you take mom or you take your big brother and get someone to come and show them that museums are for you.
Yeah, and I think to kind of piggyback with the idea of the cultural institution being this type of roadblock, that was one of the things when we read an article about before going into the program as teachers, learning about art ourselves, is that there's a block for families, especially disadvantaged families, who feel that the museum is not for them because why? The building is very imposing, or even the security guards in the process. And so I think the whole point is for them to feel comfortable by letting them know, like, yes, these are there to protect the art pieces. It's not against you guys, and helping them understand that.
One of the things that we as teachers have to do is empower ourselves, and we have to advocate for what is best for our students. And one of the things that I did this school year is when I was teaching a Regents Prep class, I made the argument that I wanted to take a field trip to see an exhibit at the Met Broyer with Kerry James Marshall as part of an argumentative writing unit. So the students would look at different works of his art and they would make an argument about what the theme of the work was using evidence from the work of art. And that was our segue into an argumentative writing unit. So we as teachers have to show the value, to show the connections between the Common Core learning standards and the different pedagogical activities that we can create with visual works of art.
So I'm kind of going back to that article, the educational value of field trips. It also states this: in particular, enriching field trips contribute to the development of students into civilized young men and women who possess more knowledge about art, have stronger critical thinking skills, exhibit increased historical empathy, display higher levels of tolerance, and have a greater taste for consuming art and culture. So, Christine and Carla, did you find this type of response when you were bringing your students to the Met?
Absolutely. Last year, I was finishing up my master's in adolescent literacy studies at Lehman College, and that was the basis of my thesis. And I engaged in a case study, and I found that students' ability to make observations, make inferences and interpretations, it improved over time as the students had increased experiences with visual works of art.
I found my students had learned a lot more than just what we were studying. It helped build strong relationships between the students and me, as well as between the students themselves. The group, especially the year where I had the same group following me through the ESTER Educator Program, they felt like they were part of something special, and they felt chosen. And this was a class that was never really chosen for anything positive. Most of their sort of being highlighted was in negative ways. And with me, we had this idea that, no, you were chosen because you are special and you have so much to offer. And they really embraced that. And this group of students is in eighth grade now, and I still have such a nice relationship with these kids, and they still remember when we did that. And now I've continued each year to bring my classes and do the same lessons, and my bulletin boards are decorated with the various outings I take to the Met now. And those students come back, remember when we did this, and they come and they look at my bulletin boards. I wish we could go back. And the sad part is that they haven't had that experience again since the program, that not enough teachers are embracing this type of learning.
Right. Except the art teachers. Maybe the art teachers will do it, but
Well, I totally understand Christine's point, and that's one of the reasons why I'm working on a book about including art in instruction. I also found that students really embraced the experiences that they had at the museum. And I even had students who I didn't teach come up and ask if they could accompany me on some of the field trips that I took. It's just an invaluable experience for students, and it really does help their critical thinking skills. And we just have to advocate for it.
There's so much research out there that supports this idea and supports the value of these kinds of experiences with works of art. And as well, in the program at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, we did study, we did a pre- and post-visit study of the students, of middle school students and high school students, and we did see growth in their critical thinking skills, growth in their comfort and interest in works of art. So we did an attitude study with the high school students, and that was very interesting because most of the students had never been to the Metropolitan Museum of Art before. And a lot of them did express negative attitudes in the beginning of the year about museums and about art. But by the end of the year, after just 4 visits to the museum, their attitudes really transformed, and they did begin to see the museum as a space for them to feel comfortable expressing their ideas, gain confidence in their ability to look at works of art, to interpret, and also really saw art as something that was valuable and relevant to their lives. A lot of students did comment that they felt that before they never really saw art as something that could help them in their lives or in their academics, and by the end of the year, they really saw how it connected and really supported their learning in many areas of their lives.
I just wanted to start off by saying that being able to go to the Met was such an eye-opening experience for me. Especially taking into account that I'd never been there before. And the first time we went to the Met as a class, I didn't really expect too much until we started to discuss the first art piece. Everyone's interpretation was different, but it still flowed into one cohesive plot, describing the story behind the painting through our eyes, through the eyes of the students. I felt glad to be taken serious. It's something that's rare, since some people don't really take into account what kids think. Writing us off is dumb due to inexperience. Being in a circle, being recorded and studied while discussing an art piece pushed me. It caused me to push my thinking. I remember seeing the Lilith statue the first time with my class. The ominous feeling that came with viewing the piece still creeps me out a bit. Our class working like a beehive trying to decipher the piece. We knew that she'd been shunned, that she may have been labeled a misfit and shunned by society. Labeled an outcast, wearing nothing and taking a primitive crawling pose, her place on the wall, giving it its unnatural feeling, her defiance of gravity and her piercing eyes. That piece stood out to me amongst the many pieces there. Every conversation we had over the art piece is something timeless because it helped further my growth. Being exposed to discussions and talking about things that one wouldn't normally talk about every day. Sparking up each other's minds is something that I don't take for granted. And I'm grateful that I was chosen to be able to go to the Met with my class. It was a very eye-opening experience, and I would definitely be coming back for more to the Met to view more paintings.
This conversation took place over a year ago. The Astor Fellows Program continues to work with educators at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Christine continues to teach middle school, and Carla not only teaches high school, she has published several works of poetry which can be found on Amazon.com. Nicola no longer works for the Met. She is currently running her own business, helping educators use art in the classroom. And her first book, The More We Look, The Deeper It Gets, Transforming the Curriculum Through Art, was inspired by the teachers she worked with during this process. Her book is available and ready to purchase on Amazon.com. You can also check out her website at NicolaGiardina.com. As Christine mentioned in the interview, teachers and students involved in the program help to incorporate art into their daily lives. As far as impacting other teachers and practices within the school, there is work needed to be done. Rebecca Gross published an article for the National Endowment for the Arts titled the importance of taking children to museums. She said, it is so important to introduce children to museums because museums open up a world of imagination and exploration. It is even more important to introduce children to museums at a young age because our youth is our future and museums broaden our knowledge of the world. By exposing students to the various cultural pieces museums offer, they begin to see the institutions not as barriers keeping them out, but as human achievements throughout history they one day may find themselves a part of. I would like to thank Nicola, Carla, and Christine for taking the time to share their opinions on their experiences teaching art in the classroom. The music was provided by Scott Nice, Audio Binger, and The Gaze. You can follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And to leave you off with a quote by Nelson Mandela, education is a great engine of development. Thanks for listening.